Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John Stamey. It is so good to be here. Got friends on cue, ready to go. We got a fascinating show, and I mean it really is fascinating. It's a lot of fun. Today, I was in Somerville, South Carolina, working on the Krampus Festival and the Somerville Comic-Con. And tomorrow I will be in Raleigh working on the Metro Comic-Con for February. And then Friday I'll be working on the Mid-South Bigfoot Conference and heading to Columbia so that I can then leave at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and go to Sevierville, Tennessee for Marble City Comic-Con. And I'll come back here on Monday to beautiful, sunny, freezing Myrtle Beach. And someone says, oh, you work for yours, you got lots of time. I got no time, but it's fun, and I like it, I guess. It keeps the bills paid. And all right, my buddies are here.
Sounds like a Jeff Hughes song. No
Do
time.
What?
So
no time.
Like a Jeff Hughes song. No time.
No time. Well, speaking of you talking, who are you, Todd Saxon? It's good to have you here with us.
Oh, man, I'm outstanding, the supernatural, and just ecstatic to be here in with Mother Nature having us in her frosty embrace. It is a balmy 26 degrees up here. And yeah, it's starting to get brisk. Nature is a mother, just saying, guys.
I'm sure. Well, I'm going to have to ask you to go to the Met Diner and get me a stuffing waffle and just FedEx it down here next day. That's what we got to have.
We can do that. Go hit the Metro. That'll work.
That's exactly.
That
just send it on down here overnight, and I'll be waiting on it. So that's cool. Glad to have you on board tonight. Dave Atwell, curmudgeon at large, always in a bad mood, and that's what makes you funny.
I'm not in a bad mood, just a real mood. You know what I mean?
You're just a real.
Just being around
just
a real,
real
mood,
man.
You know? That's it.
That's all right.
But everything's going fairly well. We, of course, if you don't keep up on the weather here on Eastern North Carolina, the weather will keep up with you. And yesterday we were right around 75, 76 degrees on a rainy day, and today it was bright and sunny outside, but never got over 42 degrees, and it's a robust 35 as we speak. And I tell you what, my balls are knocking together. I'm so cold. So I considered trying to do the show outside, and it only took maybe about 12 to 13 seconds to veto that idea. So I am back indoors. And I'm actually standing a couple feet away from the dryer here downstairs, and that way, when the dryer cranks up, I'll have some extra warmth. So, yeah. Desperate acts by a desperate man, you know what I mean?
Two things on that, Dave. One, when the weather is like this, I hope you have taken a page from Foghorn Leghorn's book and keeping your feathers numbered for just such an occasion, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm okay. I ain't got to worry about that during Yuki's purse anyways. The other thing is you can be by the dryer, just stay away from the washer on the spin cycle.
Yeah, I tell you what. At this point, it's all entertaining, to be honest with you.
All righty. Well, now that we know what's happening at the Dave Atwell homestead, we know that I am sitting here freezing with two jackets on, and Todd's up there cold, going to go to Metro Diner for me tomorrow. And I want to introduce our guest. He is a friend of mine. He is originally from Rabun County, Georgia. He is one of the most interesting people I know. And then I found out he's one of the finest artists I've ever met. I believe they call what he does folk art. I call it great art. I want to introduce all our friends on Pop Culture Stars and my two co-hosts with me tonight, to Kip Ramey. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I am doing wonderful. Good morning, universe.
What's happening?
Good evening, good day. Whatever time of day it is, wherever you're at, have a good, it's a wonderful day.
Well, Kip, you know they say it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. Well, it's sunrise somewhere. So you're right. Good morning, Vietnam.
I'm gonna join in on the conversation since we're standing like a whole bunch of old men sitting on the front porch. It's daggum cold down here. My ball stuck to my chair when I tried to get up. Oh no, it's pretty cold down here in good old Isla, Georgia.
You are in Isla. I used to drive by there when I'd go to Athens, Georgia to drink. Oh, Isla. I remember there was like an old beat up house on a corner and a stoplight, and that was about it.
That's
still
about what it is now. That's still, they got a Dollar General now. But I think every town has a Dollar General now. I think every Woods has a Dollar General. Bigfoot goes to a Dollar General too, I think, sometimes. He goes in to stop to get necessities.
That's exactly right.
Miss Bigfoot gets real busy when she don't have her necessities.
Who?
Sends Mr. Bigfoot. Miss Bigfoot gets really upset when she sends Mr. Bigfoot in to get her, her tampons, and he doesn't bring them back, and he comes back with a 12-pack of beer, it kind of runs the night. Oh, poor old Bigfoot. He don't stand a chance.
Hey,
Dave and Todd, now you see what the real conversation is about Bigfoot down there. And
Bigfoot, he deals with the same things we deal with. Yeah,
I wonder if he uses a vibrator for a silencer.
The
dildo is the silencer. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Better be careful.
That's
you can hear everything we say. Yeah, everything we say. Do what? Was someone saying something? Okay. All right. So anyway, a little bit about Kip. He's a fine artist, and I have seen his work firsthand. I own some of his work. In fact, it's sitting Dog with Space Age. Is sitting right next to my picture of Baha'u'llah's son, the founder of the Baha'i Faith. So I have high esteem for Dog with Space Alien. It's a great picture. And he works tirelessly to help promote his home county of Rabun County and wants to – he was helped out a whole lot at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And then he said – he messed up. Kip, did you know that you messed up when you put out a post that said, John Stamey and I are hosting the North Georgia – Comic-Con? I said, boy, I got somebody to help now. It's great.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
That's all right. Well, I want you to tell everybody.
I chose to start drinking again.
That's right. You better choose to start drinking now. But here's the point. One thing that you taught me is that you cannot do a successful event unless you have somebody from the town or from the area. So we're doing the second Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and I'm there trying to get Bigfoot speakers and trying to get folks to come to it. And so Kip and I start talking. Kip said, we got to get Billy Redden. And I had lost my mind. I said, well, who in the heck is that? Now, Kip, can you please continue the story.
If you say who's Billy Redden, it'd be like, who's that? You say, let's get the banjo boy from Deliverance. Oh, okay, yes, I hear banjos. Battle
That's
faster.
Right.
But, Billy's is a character. He's he lived in Raven County his whole life. He never thought of himself to be a star. I mean, even when he finally decided to work, owned a restaurant one time. Now he's retired from Walmart now, but working at Walmart, never thought anything about it. People come to get his autograph from around the world. And now is his time to shine. good old Billy Redden from Raven County. Banjo boy.
That's pretty cool.
That's right. One of the most, as Dinah Shore said, one of the most electrifying scenes in all movie history, and it was, with Ronnie Cox. We want to get Ronnie in there because now.
Yeah. I mean, even Tim Burton included him in his movie Big Fish because it was such an iconic, haunting image to him as a child. He wanted him to be in that movie. So, I mean, to know how far-reaching his image and his appearance in that movie was, and to know how much credit he actually didn't get for being in that movie. And being the face of the movie, basically, of one of the most cult classic movies ever.
And that's up there with Pulp Fiction. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
And I tell you, I mean, Kip was telling me a really great story. Now, Kip, why don't you relate the story about when some movie company wanted to, didn't they want to have a 30th anniversary of Deliverance in Raven County?
I don't like to talk too publicly about the relationship between the locals and Deliverance, but the gist of the story is they had had, because of Deliverance, the Stuga River has been classified as a natural scenic and is protected. And probably never would have been protected and probably would have been trashed. And like a lot of the rivers, just full of poisons and trash and God knows what. But now it's protected because of Deliverance. So they were having a Stuga River Festival, and it was actually fell on the 40th anniversary of the release of Deliverance. And they had a big festival lined up. And it was going to span South Carolina and Northeast Georgia. The stars were coming. The production company were going to send the stars. It looked like a beautiful thing fixing to happen that would have brought so many people in. But in true fashion, Raven County bucked it and got a defensive. And from what I understand, somebody mailed the production company in a nice letter stating that they would not appreciate them coming and they would retaliate if they did come. So they backed out, and so did most everybody else. But Ronnie Cox did come, though, and Ronnie Cox did play with his band, and he met with Billy Redden again. So it was an interesting event when it did happen.
Because, you know, it would have been incredible to have had John Voight, Burt Reynolds, Ronnie Cox, and Billy Redden all there. I mean, yeah.
Well, you get the 40th anniversary DVD or Blu-ray now. It's got the interviews in it. They had a sit-down, and that's what they were wanting to do. They were wanting to make a whole other DVD, you know, with them here again and going around and seeing the scenes and talking about it. But like I say, when you get a threatening letter, you kind of back out. But they still did interviews with them. But, of course, it was somewhere out in California, not in Raven County. But, unfortunately, that's been a lot of things that's happened there. But there's a great turnaround there now, and it's good to see that happening. They've embraced the Bigfoot Festival, and they're hopefully going to embrace a lot more things that we can bring to them. It'll bring some happy, happy time.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we've got, what we're doing is we're going to, Kip and I are going to put on the North Georgia Con in April. And then in the fall, in October, we're going to have the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So we're going to do that. We're also looking to put together a film festival in the spring, along with the North Georgia Comic Con. Some details will be coming out on that very, very soon, like next week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We intend to do great things because I think Raven County is perfectly situated between Asheville and Atlanta, or let's say Asheville and Athens. Would that be a good thing to say, Kip?
Well, Asheville, Athens, Atlanta, Greenville, Spartanburg.
I mean, the point is there's just a boatload of people there. And they don't have any – yeah, they have good things to do, but they don't have any really, really spectacular, sparkling events like a big Comic Con or the Bigfoot.
No, they've always they've never had anything. Well, they don't even have a movie theater anymore. They don't have any kind of entertainment other than the Universal joint, which has live music on Friday and Saturday nights and the occasional band that plays at the other restaurants in town. But really, they don't have the per capita of people they have coming in and the type of people they have coming in. Like just this last weekend, I was up there painting a mural for the local animal shelter in town, and I had just missed John Cena, who was hanging out at the Universal joint, and he hung out there all week. So, I mean, you know, it's the clientele is coming there, and they need something to do. They want something to do, and they want to be with everybody. You know, they want to be included and inclusive and in that environment to where they can be there. I mean, whether they celebrity or not, you know, people want to come and just be a part of it. And it's growing. They've got an axe throwing venue, which you'd never thought that would happen. But they've got a lot of things going on up there that's moving them in the right direction.
They're doing that. Are they doing that at Clark?
No, they're doing that at Wonder North Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Go ahead. No, I was going to say this past weekend I was in North Charleston, and there's a place called Beard and Axe. It's a pub.
Mm-hmm.
They make their own craft beer and they do axe throwing. And I thought to myself, that's amazing. So they now have a place like that in dear old Clayton. What people don't know is Clayton's really become a bedroom community for wealthy Atlanta. They have Lake Raven and Lake Burton. Yeah, and they've got million-dollar homes all around them. And those folks come up from Atlanta every weekend, and they want something to do. I mean, for a little town of 2,300 people. It's got the most opulent downtown I've ever seen. It's manicured.
Oh, my God.
And
they've got a private airport on top of the mountain that John Travolta flies into. It's amazing what people don't know. But it's getting there to where people are finding out about it. And hopefully we can – I've always believed in it and thought it could be something great. And I think we're at the forefront of it.
Now, you just mentioned something that I got to ask Dave about. Dave, he just mentioned private airport runway, John Travolta, and we've been talking about Clayton, Georgia. Can't you write a sequel to Pulp Fiction now?
Oh.
Well, just about everybody died by the time that movie was over with. Because, you know, Travolta got shot on the turlet. And, Bruce Willis ran off. I think the only one that walked off was Sam Jackson. And, of course, we know why, because he's Samuel L. Jackson. But that's one of those.
Say what again?
That's,
you could do like,
that's one of those.
You could do like most
though.
Of the movies now and make a female version.
Yeah. But, I mean, some movies just don't require. I read the other night that they're actually doing a remake of Skyscraper. Not a sequel, of course, but they're doing an actual remake of Scarface. And I'm going, how can you remake
Al Pacino
that movie? How can you anybody who has, you know, a lick of common sense understands the iconic, and we've talked about it a million times before, how there's some movies and TV shows where everybody's just hitting on all cylinders. And Scarface, of course, was one of those movies. So why, out of all of the new ideas that are out there floating around, would you try to remake a movie as iconic as that? And
well, who's going to play Scarface? Who's going to play Scarface? Who's going to star in the
that fellow?
That is the question.
Who?
I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He played. He was in Rogue One, and he also was in that Narcos miniseries on Netflix. Good guy, but it's not Al Pacino. And, you know, it'd be like trying to remake Rocky without Stallone.
It would be like trying to remake the Andy Griffith Show. I always said if they tried to do it, they totally run out of new ideas, and they're just never going to come up with something new again. I mean, Scarface.
And there's one Andy Griffith, there's one Don Knotts, and it's time, you know, it's just time to move on, do something different, you know.
I guess something new. Why does the young people have to have a new version to relate to it? Why can't they relate to the previous version? Why does it have to be a new Three Stooges to be related?
God forbid, why can't they come up with their own stuff?
I don't know. Nobody's reading anymore.
It was like the remake of The Little Rascals. It was just a disaster.
Yeah.
God. You can't.
Yeah, that soul had absolutely zero magic that Hal Roach managed to cobble together with those youngins. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of those episodes that you can't even air them now, but they're in their day they were hysterical. But you can't
even
air them.
Even
really can't.
You couldn't make The Little Rascals now because there would be too many things that have issues with. You couldn't redo any version of it because it'd have to be totally changed.
I mean, they'd have to be messing around with video games. I mean, you know, they'd all have cell phones.
Is that somebody came up with The Little Rascals back then. Somebody came up with Andy Griffith back then. Somebody came up with Star Wars back then. So why can't anybody come up with anything now? You know what I mean? It's why do we have
to
fall back? Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't any
easier on those guys being original than it is on people now to be original. And I don't know. It's just they need to go out and what did we say a couple shows ago? Go out and get your own damn show.
Well, they like me. They like somebody painting the show. I'm going to paint just like, I can't think of anybody right off the top of my head. Like, I'm going to paint just like Norman Rockwell because he's good, and I'm going to paint just like him. And people buy my stuff because it looks like his. It's the same aspect, you know. No, do something. Get your ass out there and do something original. And then it may not take off, but, you know, most of these movies didn't. When they came out in theaters, most of the great movies that we think about now that are cult classics were, they thought were a shit show back then. They were jokes. You know, they're like, oh,
yep.
This movie ain't never going to go nowhere. Little they know 20 years later, it's a cult classic film that people around the world can quote. So, I know.
I mean, we all know the story about Scarface where they weren't even going to make the movie because they said it was too violent. And they had 2 DEA agents on the staff for consultant purposes. And when they couldn't get a rating because the Motion Picture Association was wanting to put an X on the film because of the whole chainsaw scene, and they went back, they watered down the chainsaw scene, and came back with it, and you know the Motion Pictures Association still said nope, it's still rated X. We don't care. It's the way it's going to be. And the staff got together and broke the news to these two DEA guys, and they said, let us talk to them. And they went to the Motion Picture Association and said, hey, this film has to get out because it's not meant to be a violent movie. This is more of a public service message. People need to know what's going on, and this is the exact thing that we deal with, and the world needs to know about it. And that's how Scarface got out there. And again, you know, why it ain't any easier on them than it would be on people now. So they need to, you know, people need to shrug off this whole, we need to remake this, we need to remake that, and quit being so damn lazy about it.
There it is.
And, yeah. And, you know, you guys, as an author, you guys heard me crow over and over and over again. There's plenty of original content, and if you need some names, just ask. But there's plenty of content out there. You know, it's just people want to take the shortcut, and damn shame.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like everything else has its people like that. I mean, I know artists that they'll paint a celebrity in a quote or whatever easy that everybody knows. Or, you know, they'll paint easy, but sometimes easy in the best way, right? Sometimes.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, easy, just it'll get you there, but it don't always get you there where you want to be or need to be.
Wasn't there a song about that? In fact, it was Beatles doing, after they broke up, doing solo material. Ringo Starr is the one that released it, but it was George Harrison that wrote it. Go figure.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you were talking about X-rated films. I mean, you know, the best PG-13 film I've ever seen is Midnight Cowboy. And it could not be remade because it was made before cell phones, and it was made when it was kind of weird to wear a cowboy hat, you know, and a leather jacket 24 hours a day. And yeah, you remake that. That's in the same category as Scarface, one of the greatest films ever made. Great PG-13 film that was rated X.
You couldn't make it up to date. You couldn't make it. You'd still have to put it in that era. I mean, you couldn't. It's like,
You're right.
It'd have to be filmed in that era because it wouldn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, you couldn't make that now because it'd have to be.
No.
I mean, you don't have the influx of the Cuban population that you did in the 70s that, you know, not going on now. And, but, you know, it's the same thing if they tried to, you know, like I said, Stallone without Rocky. If you tried to redo The Godfather. I mean, The Godfather is not the only mob film out there, but by God, you cannot get another James Caan. You cannot get another De Niro in two when he played, young Vito.
Marlon Brando.
It's funny you went with a mob flick because that's one of the first things I was thinking of. Now, sadly, the name of it escapes me. The one there based out of Vegas.
Oh, Casino.
Yeah, there we go. That was, God almighty. You know, I mean, think of the cast in that, those people doing their roles, the emotion in the baseball bat scene at the end with Pesci and all that, you know, towards the end of the flick, have you just, all that. Man, yeah, let's just, because as soon as you said they wanted to redo Scarface, I was like, my God, they're going to want to redo that.
Yeah. And, but, Casino is another one of those films where, again, everybody was hitting on all cylinders. I mean, Alan King was in it. James Woods. James Woods was fantastic in that movie as Lester Diamond. And he had a bit part. He played a creep, And I mean, he absolutely killed it. And, you know, Alan King was spot on. Kevin Pollak was spot on. It didn't matter if the Don Rickles was spot on. So, you know, you're sitting around the table there in Hollywood and you're trying to come up with an idea for a movie, and some asshole's got to speak up and go, hey, we ought to remake Casino. Man, when are people going to get together and start running people like that off?
Well, the problem if you sit down and looked at all the movies and all the stuff that's on Netflix, Hulu, and the movies coming out now, how many of them are actually original ideas and not remakes or something? I mean, it's always great to see the sequel to, you know, Ghostbusters 3. Oh, well, here they come again. But it's kind of like going to go see your favorite hair metal band from the 80s now. And
Jackal.
By the time you leave, you're depressed because you're like, if they're that damn old, that means I am too. You know, it's like,
Jackal.
It's not the same. It's not the same. Not the same to see Jackal. Not the same to see him up there with a chainsaw.
His hip
goes out. No. No. No.
Been there,
no.
Why
did you do that?
Except for the Rolling Stones.
They look great after they die.
Oh, my God. My God.
Jackal, for God's sake. Those were the guys that jacked their lumber.
Kind of like that.
I jacked my lumber, baby. Since my chainsaw you. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the wrestling match I went to where Abdullah Butcher still wrestled. And it's like, look, man, I know you still want to do this, but when five men have to hoist you into the ring, and it was just kind of sad to watch it happen. It's like, oh, yeah, before I was like, Abdullah Butcher's going to be there. It's going to be freaking awesome. By the time I left, I was kind of sad.
I was going to know. That was the experience his name is slipping me. The Rocky Motion Picture, Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Tim Curry. Tim Curry, of course, you know, you hear the news that he had the stroke. And everybody's like, oh, God, Tim Curry's going to be there. That guy was in a wheelchair and just, it was so sad to see that guy getting wheeled by me. And I was like, wow. You know, I had even heard towards the end of Stan Lee's life that when he was at these cons, that his eyesight was so bad that they had a sheet of paper with a hole in it, and you pointed to where you wanted him to sign it, and they put the hole over top of the picture, and he would just sign Stan Lee. Like you said, man.
Kind of like, yeah. I went to DragonCon one year and worked a wrestling match down there with Iron Sheik and Captain Lou. And when I was walking around, what's his name? Now it completely left my head. Just passed away recently, a year or two ago. Not Don Rickles, but... I was thinking it just a minute ago, but he was like almost 100 when he passed away. But it was sad to see him sitting there, him and his wife. His wife was kind of guiding his hand to sign the autographs, and he just looked so vacant. I can't think of his name, but it was him. You could see as him, but there was nothing there much. You know, he was just kind of there, just making his extra, you know, couple thousand dollars he made that weekend.
Yeah,
but I guess if you've done that your whole life, you know, he was a child actor back in the 30s, 40s, you know. You've done it your whole life. What else would you know how to do? I mean, other than die. I mean, you know, that's all you knew how to do.
Yeah.
That was a very poignant statement you made, Kip.
Well, if I could remember his name, it'd make more sense, but...
No, but how could you know what else to do other than act?
Oh, was it
was it
Kirk Douglas?
No, Kirk's still alive. He's 101 now.
He's still alive.
I'm Mickey Rooney.
That was my other thought, yeah.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney. And it was just, he would just sit there and just kind of look off. You could tell his mind wasn't all there. But he was still entertaining because about a month later, he did a show in Toccoa, Georgia at the Ritz Theater, and he sang and danced. What, he could sing and dance, but, I mean, he was still working. But that's all he ever needed. I mean, when you've done it since childhood, it's not even about the money. It's about the staying relevant. And that's
right.
When it's passion, when it's truly a passion, when it's not even the money, you just make the money to keep doing what you love doing.
I think you're right there. Mm-hmm. You make the money to keep doing what you love doing. I mean, look, he dated Judy Garland. Who else can say that? Yeah.
For real.
Not that many.
A bunch of guys.
Not that many people. Not that many people.
It's like saying dated Marilyn Monroe. Well, I could think quite a few people.
Yeah. There was only like 7 or 8 busloads of them. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
Oh, be nice. Don't speak ill of the dead.
They'll come. I don't want Marilyn Monroe to haunt my ass. I could think of a lot worse, but I don't want nobody to haunt my ass. I barely sleep as it is.
I don't want
Hollywood speak.
Yeah, don't speak ill of the dead. Who said that? The old lady in the comedy? It was so funny. Excuse me. I can't remember. So anyway, yeah, great memory. So Kip, where do you get your inspiration for those awesome landscapes that you do? Like, he's got one. I got to describe it. On the left hand side of this mountain is a man with a flashlight, like a spelunker, you know, trying to find everything. Got all these lights and picks and stuff. And then there's this mountain, and then on the other side there's Bigfoot cooking out. And the guy just can't see him.
Well, I mean, a lot of my paintings just come from experiences, come from the people I know, because I love weird and crazy ass people, because I'm one too. And like attracts like, as we all know. So,
that's why we're friends.
A lot of I mean, a lot of it's just crazy ass shit when I get in the zone. Like my friend Eric Legee, fellow artist, says, when he starts to paint, most of the time he completely loses himself. He'll start working on something and he'll come to and not even realize how long he's been working on it. I usually do that, and it's because I fell asleep and I've written all over my painting that I spent 8 hours working on with a permanent marker. But okay, whatever. But no, I mean, it's like that when I was sitting there thinking one day after we had, before we had done the Bigfoot conference, I was thinking about how all these people are out there commercially looking for that fabled end of the rainbow or the Bigfoot or whatever, that one little thing that's going to make them famous if they find it. You know, now it would make me a YouTube celebrity, you know, bullshit, whatever. But, I mean, it's that, you know, searching for that end of the rainbow. But the mountain just represents that invisible but yet huge and movable mountain that we can't seem to move, to realize that it's all there on the other side of that veil. You know, we're searching for it. And if we just quit looking, it's already there. And we will see it when that time is meant to be for us to see it. You know, because I don't think we're coherent and any means capable of understanding what it all really means and what it all boils down to, or what the end result or whatever it is. So it's that mountain, whether it be your faith, or whatever it is, It's that mountain that stands between what you're in the end of the rainbow, that pot of gold there. So Bigfoot, yeah. Everybody's searching for a Bigfoot. They ain't found him yet.
Take him down, shoot him, haul him in. I just want to say hey to him. Protect him a little bit.
You seen my Bigfoot costume. I got a really good Bigfoot costume. And I waited and waited because I didn't want a scary Bigfoot costume. I wanted a friendly Bigfoot costume. So this guy had one. It didn't look like if Homer Simpson and Bigfoot had a baby. It looked funny, so I had to have it. So, but I'm really scared to wear it in the woods around here because of all the hillbillies and the rednecks. I'm afraid that I'll be out there, and the next thing I know, I'll wake up in somebody's cooler or freezer, strung up. So, wake up dead. I don't want to wake up dead in the freezer. But,
The question is, with the Bigfoot costume, are you going to have a deer tag or a buck tag or a doe tag on your leg?
I know for real. Probably neither. Around here, they'll probably just poach my ass.
It'll be a poacher.
There's no telling. I don't want to find out. I made the mistake of one day when we moved into our new house, we bought a farm that we're remodeling out here in Isla, and I thought it'd be a smart idea to walk across the road in my costume and run to the other side and do that several times. I really don't know how I didn't get shot because we did have my dad does his own taxidermy, and he had ordered this great big mount for a mountain lion, a huge mountain lion mount, and he never used it. He ordered it like 30 years ago, never got to use it. They asked me, "Do you want it?" Well, shit, yeah, I want it. I'm gonna mess with people, so I painted it black. And I stuck it in the yard, and every day I would come in and I'd move it somewhere different. Until finally, I got up one morning and looked for my cat, and it was blown to pieces. Somebody had done shot my poor cat. But no, that's why probably not a smart idea for him to walk across the road in his Bigfoot costume. Not anymore. I don't want to meet the demise of the big black panther.
Oh, and my friend Robin, she's got like an exotic leopard kind of cat now. If you remember Robin, mm-hmm. right?
And she's got this
petrified. I am petrified of that thing, and I just see her just playing with that thing. Oh my God!
A Savannah cat.
It's a scary cat.
Is it a Savannah cat?
I don't know.
I think that's what it is.
They've been breeding them for domestic. You know, they've domesticated a level of those things, but they are not small. Just gorgeous markings, and they are. Yeah, they're not small, dude.
They're like the. Three times the size of a house cat. Not something you want to see when you don't know that's what you're going to see coming at you.
Well put. Not something you want to see when you don't know what you're going to see. Yep, that's exactly right. You don't want that thing walking into you, joint.
No. You don't want to wake up
it's
with that
interesting
thing on your
that the woman that all knows things will brag about them, but most women don't want to brag about having a big, yeah, whatever. Just saying.
Don't know what you're talking about, Todd.
Well, you know us, we love to make penile jokes, but you know, it's just like when. We raise ceramic chickens, which are the world's tiniest chickens. Oh, so me being the ultimate, trying to always compete with my family, their stature of smart-ass them in the world. I'd in this one Sarama rooster.
The roosters. You're going to the
roosters. Yeah, little bitty roosters, and they're little cocky bastards. But they're real fragile. And so when I brought him, when I went to pick him up, I had to put him in a cage and cover the cage with a blanket, or they get scared and they kill themselves. So I drove a ways to get it, and I went through the drive-thru. And, of course, I did it before I even thought about it. And the girl took my money, and I looked at her, and I said, "Would you like to see my tiny cock?" And I said, "I'm going to have to go through with this." So I lifted the blanket, and I said, "This is what I was." Of course, she got it, and thank God she had a good sense of humor. But, And then now we've got a miniature wiener dog, a miniature dachshund, and I've been trying to not do that, not pull that joke.
I'm sorry to say it, but apparently you have a theme going.
I know. I mean, you know, what I says, you know, just because it's a little acorn, that's what she calls me, a mighty oak will come soon. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that day, maybe. Oh.
Like the mustard seed. Yep.
Like the mustard seed with the faith of the mustard seed.
So Kip, you gotta brag on yourself a little bit, Kip. You went to some show that people can't get into for 30 years, and you were like one of the invited guests. You're like one of the most acclaimed artists in North Georgia. What was that show about? What was one a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, I don't know about all that mess, but you know me.
Well, I do.
No, it was that show is called Kentuck Folk Art Festival. It's a show that's like the premiere. They have like nearly 600 people apply for this show, and it's one of those things that I tried to get in the past when I first started doing my art full time and started doing shows, never could get in. A friend has tried for decades to get in. And then this past year I applied and I got denied. And which last year I actually got to go. I applied, but the show's really expensive. It's like $350 for a booth. But it's a really good show. It's a really good show to enter, you know, to meet people, to make new clientele, and to meet people inside the business. And but this year I applied and I got denied. And I'm thinking, well, what happened? Well, about 2 weeks later, they invited me. And that's like a really big honor to be invited. So that was a really good thing to actually be invited to the show. Because that's a lot better than being, you know, accepted, because that's just a jury. Every year they have different people that juries it. So that's a lot of what makes it harder to get in. If you've not been going for 20 or 30 years, they don't know you. So they're going to look over stuff and they're just going to judge you by what they think is good to them. But because I got invited by the people that run it, was actually a pretty good feeling. Let me know.
So now, what is folk art? What does that mean?
Folk art. I mean, really. I mean, I argumentate with that with people all the time because I make art. I've always made art. My mom said I came out of the womb with a paintbrush and a pencil, and it hurt. Is what she said. But I mean, you know, I've always done art, but I did it mainly just to pacify myself and to be able to get things out of my head and never ever started serious. I mean, I would make things for people. I would work with people on projects, never took it seriously about doing it for a living because I wasn't professional. I wasn't photorealistic. I wasn't hyperrealistic. I didn't paint what everybody else paints. I didn't paint the beach scene with a red canoe. You know, I didn't, you know, back, you know, when I lived in Clayton, everything was about the mountains. Everything was a mountain scene with bears or whatever. And I wasn't photorealistic. So I never took it seriously. And then I made friends with some people in the folk art era, you know, the folk art realm. And I realized that these people are weird and I need to hang out with them. And so I've been hanging out with them ever since. There's my brothers and sisters. I mean, you know, it wasn't even, you know, you find out what happens when you get a little bit of fame, and it makes you kind of it didn't really disgruntle me, but it wasn't even 4 years of me being in on this professionally, you know, taking it serious, that they picked four artists, folk or outsider artists, to be a part of a reality TV show that was based on folk art. But it didn't work because they wanted us to fight, and none of us wanted to fight. But really, I mean, folk or outsider art, it's just, it's a fine line. For me, it works. They call me folk art because it's self-taught. I mean, there's self-taught art, folk art, outsider art. There's all different forms that fall under that umbrella. But folk is more of your untrained, naive art. I was never formally trained. Of course, I had art in school like most people did. And other than that, you know, I've never formally trained. And rude art's mentally challenged or fit, you know, physically any kind of challenge. There's different forms of art that form, you know, under that umbrella. But I just take whatever they call it. I said, as long as you've got the money to give me for my paint, you can call it dog art. I don't care. I mean, as long as it brings you joy and it makes you smile, I mean, that's great. You know, you can call it whatever you want to once you get it home. But, no, I just love doing it. I just love doing it because it saved my life. Art did. It gave me that outlet when nothing else did to bring joy to others. Because, you know, as we all fight demons, whatever demons they may be, and we all do. Anybody says they don't, it's crazy as hell. But, you know, it gives you that opportunity for me. And we all find a release in other things, but it saved my life and gave me an outlet to showcase what I can leave when I'm gone. And I just hope, you know, of all the money I've made, whatever money, it don't matter. I mean, the first time I sold a painting for $1,600, everybody thought I was rich. And I thought that might pay two bills. You know, but you're never as rich as people think you are. But, no, all the money's gone. You know, I just hope my art can outlive me and people remember it. And I hope that, you know, because when that joy is still there, when that peace that resonates with them, something that takes them back to a time when they were young, or it takes them on a magical journey or whatever it does to them, I hope that lasts. And when I'm gone from this earth, I hope it continues. Because I'm sure if there's any money left in my pot when I'm dead, there'll be somebody scraping it out. So it won't matter anyway.
Wow. A marvelous
thing. Hell, if anything like me, they're doing it now.
Oh, yeah. I know. I know more money, more problems.
That's it.
I want to be rich. I want to be rich enough to drive down the road and throw dollar bills out the window. Not $20.
Can I be greedy. Can I be on your trunk and catch?
Yeah. I'd be like, money. Ooh, money.
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, we just got to be able to pay the cable bill and keep the internet on so that we can keep Pop Culture Stars going. That's all that matters, you know?
Wow. You still have cable?
What?
Well, you know what I mean by cable. I mean, I'm talking about my fiber optic.
Actually,
my brother's
so far behind. He called me the other day. Yeah, my brother got cable the other day. They still have cable. I didn't know it was such a thing anymore. But he called me like, I thought he had finally got laid or something. But it was just the fact that he finally got cable. I'm like, cable? There's still cable companies out there, really? But obviously they are. And it's $122 a month for cable. Yeah, I've been cheap to get laid.
And you watch 5 channels of it.
Oh, I know. And you're just like, flip, 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 flip. Hell, ain't nothing on. It's just like having a satellite dish with 500 channels. You think when you first get it, you're like, holy Jesus, I'm going to have enough stuff to watch for a lifetime. By the end of the night, you're like, okay, this is not very interesting. I've watched this thing flip for 5 hours and there's nothing on. But that's what we do. That's how we amuse ourselves.
Do like I do. I got 1,600 channels that I pay for, and I always end up watching a replay of the same Celtics and Lakers game from 82.
Yeah. Something you've watched 100 times. You know, watch that Chuck Norris movie that you just watched the other night on video. You're like, oh, there it is again. I'll watch that. I know I like that.
You go through all 1,600 channels trying to find which one has Tombstone on so you can watch it for the 900th time, you know?
I don't know. Sit and quote it.
Good movie. Good movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. But then you got some of the finest comedy in history on television right now. We got the impeachment trial.
Oh, good Lord. Oh,
it is so funny. I saw some outtakes of it tonight. It's like those guys need to get paid to be comedians.
I swear, this thing had been nothing but a horrifying comedy show since it all started. I was afraid of that. Oh, I don't like to talk politics, but it's funny and scary at the same time.
It is funny. It's scary. It's like, oh my God, am I really seeing this? And then you laugh. And that's about what it is. Is this really happening?
Is this real?
Then you just burst out laughing. I mean, they need to take the best ones of these guys, and they need to create something like Saturday Night Live. It should be like Washington Dead or something, you know?
It wouldn't surprise me at all when he gets out of office and he doesn't start his own cable network. Start his own news channel or something, Trump News. We only tell the truth. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We only
tells the truth, I'm all for it.
But which truth?
Yeah.
There's lots of truths.
But don't none of them tell the truth anymore. Ever since news went to 24 hours, that all went to shit.
They got the invention of
everything's a lie now. It's about 90% of the stuff you see is a lie.
Yeah.
It's fabricated, or if it's not fabricated, it's just made. It makes me sick because I know when Baltimore was supposed to be burning down a couple years back, we did a show there every year called Artscape. And it was one of our best shows, and it was about 2 months before that all this happened. And, you know, it's supposed to be race wars. It was awful. Baltimore's burning down, you know. And everybody said, "You're not going to that show, are you?" I said, "I ain't scared of nobody. If we get killed up there, then at least we'll have fun." But I mean, I get up there and I made some friends in the inner city there, because you go outside of you got to admit, you go outside of Baltimore, what is just, you know, your tourist Baltimore. It's scary as hell. But they're nice people up there, and I talked to some of the friends we had made previous years, and I said, "What really happened up here in Baltimore 2 months ago?" They said, "Well, there was some crazy idiot trying to burn a trash can in front of the CVS. That's all we know." And then the news media tried to portray it like the whole world, you know, they were burning it down. Everything was going to hell in a handbasket. But that's just how the media does. Just sensationalize it to the fact it's not even true anymore. And nobody has a clue what's true anymore. We're a lot easier to control when we're stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was carrying on this last hurricane that came up the coast through that Hurricane Dorian that came up. And I'm watching, and you got Jim Campori. And he's standing about 3 feet from the water's edge.
Feedback.
Yeah, I'm getting a little feedback, getting a little echo. But he's standing about 3 feet from the water's edge. Well, then when the wind picks up, they go to a commercial, and he's on a different angle where he's standing a good, you know, 50 feet from the water. And I was telling my folks, you know, both of them are in their early 70s now, and I says, promise me this. I says, you guys will never fall for what this fear-mongering ass bag is doing and saying. All he's doing, a guy that arrogant doesn't want to die. A guy that arrogant wants to live to be 110 years old. And he's out there sensationalizing it and fear-mongering it, and he's scaring the piss out of a bunch of superstitious old women out there. And,
oh, that's how they do.
Yeah. I says, you know, there's a special place in hell for that guy.
Well, it's just like, you remember, was it that hurricane where the reporter could barely stand up? He was fighting the wind, and it was just so bad because they talked about how the Carolina coast would be decimated. It was the worst hurricane in history. And they talked
about it. And that was in Wilmington.
And they talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Fear, 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 fear. And then that guy, and it didn't. It didn't. And that one guy was out there selling it like, oh, it's the winds are really bad. Oh, they're so bad. And then two teenage dudes walked behind him like, what's this tickerhead doing? And the wind wasn't even blowing. And so, you know,
that was,
but that's just a good example. Yeah.
And he had his arrogant ass in the studio for this last hurricane, so I'm sure that wasn't an accident.
No. You don't get out there and show. It's like a wrestler going out there and breaking kayfabe. No, you don't do that. You won't be wrestling.
Yeah.
No. I mean, now, I mean, who knows what Vince McMahon lets them do that blurs the line of. But we all remember a time when wrestling used to be, it was all real.
1950.
We used to think politics were real and the news was real. And it makes you wonder if it was real then and we're just now seeing how fake it's always been. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Frank Reynolds cried when Kennedy got shot. That was newscasting. You know what I mean? And, you know, it ain't the stuff now where, you know, when George Bush died here not long ago and all the news networks were getting all, you know, honorable and solemn and everybody was paying their respects, let's set our differences aside and all this kind of stuff. I said, well, damn. If we could show a president that kind of respect when his ass is in office, maybe we wouldn't be in the bind we're in.
Maybe, yeah. But they can't. You can't. I don't know. We're in a different world now, and it's I don't know what kind of rules we're going by. I don't know if they know either. I don't know if we're just making them up as we go, because it's just like I was talking about somebody the other day about how you should respect the flag and respect, you know, the school, how they still hear it, Hanks County every day, pledge allegiance to the flag. And I said, how can you still pledge allegiance to that flag when the flag that you've got flying out in front of the school hangs there every day? it is ragged because you don't ever take it down. I remember a time when you had to take it down every day.
Yep.
Before it got dark. And if that thing touched the ground, you know, the devil was going
to
get
it. It had to be turned over. Yep.
And it had to be, oh, yeah. But now they still love that flag, but it flies there every day till it's ragged. And they just buy them another one that says made in China on it because they can go get it for $250. You know, there's no respect for, I just don't know where we're at anymore. Nobody does. Nobody knows what to.
But in the meantime, everybody, we got countries where we got little dictators, and he says that everybody has to have a haircut like mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any problem with getting the flags down there. You know what I mean? People just don't know how good they got it.
No, and we're too busy fighting over who uses which bathroom. Who cares? It's where you go pee and poop. Just get on with you. You know, I got to say, when I went to Paris years ago as a young man, and I'm in there leaking a leak, and a beautiful woman walks behind me. While I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, am I in the wrong bathroom? No, we go to all bathrooms.
I know you're in Paris.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, I was kind of confused. I was thinking, oh. But no, I mean, we're too upset. We're too, what's the word for it?
Politically correct.
Politically correct. We are that, too. But we're too, we needed a kick in the butt.
Yeah,
we're too sensitive. We're too easy. I can't say that I agree with everything our president is and what he stands for, but we needed that. We needed to be woke up. We needed to be. We need to respect things again. We need to. It's not just one man that's going to fix this country. We've been putting too much of our energy on finding one person to fix it when it's not one person. It's us. It starts local. It starts in the towns. When you start caring about the other individuals in that town and you become a part of that town and you help and it spreads. But when everything is so divided and so divisive and so superficial and everything that's on TV is negativity and that's all you're fed, you can't come together as a community, much less a country. And so it's up to us. It's up to us to bring the communities back. And we won't never live an Andy Griffith life again, but we can come close to it, but just come together. I mean, we're all different. I mean, we just got to come together. And instead of saying you're right and I'm wrong, let's figure out what we can do that's good for everybody. Because none of us are right. None of us are wrong. It's just who's got the best idea for everybody who can be inclusive and make this work instead of arguing about crap that ain't going to matter. But as we all know, that's just a sideshow to keep our attention away from what's really going on.
Real stuff, yep. That is true.
Todd, are you there? You have been quiet tonight.
I am. Yeah, sometimes there's certain energies you don't want to bring to the show. What I like is everything Kit said there, if you stop and you think, if you really go back and re-listen to the show, that shit was real. He was being real right there, and that's important. That's a lot of what this show brings. And I know that right now, it'd be real, but it's not the real anybody needs to hear right now. I'm just saying, my soapbox would be cynical.
Uh-huh.
It would be negative. And that would be no bueno for what we do. So I'll go with this. You referenced, you tried to start it actually a little bit lighter, Dr. John, the reference in the comedy with the hearings in D.C. I think the best meme I saw was somebody had put the big top over the Capitol building. Boy, that is true. That is true because, you know, let me tell you, I know they say Barnum and Bailey went out of business. But last time I checked, every one of those fookers are in Congress. I'm just saying.
They're everywhere. It's like Ray Stevens and Santa Claus. He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
Look, I got to tell you, and this is a bloody truth. I get so tired of everybody calling our country a democracy. Those sorry twinkle toes, communists, cocksucker sons of bitches do not understand what a republic is. We may use democracy as a tool, but we are a freaking republic. And see, I was trying not to get like this, and I do apologize. Man. But yeah, it's a freaking republic, you sorry bastards. The teachers union, everybody else, pull your heads the hell out of your ass. In fact, you know what? Because I know that can't be done physically for you, why don't you go get a plexiotomy? You know what a plexiotomy is? That is a piece of plexiglass inserted in one's abdomen so you can see when you have your head up your ass.
That's right. Still see where you're walking.
Man.
John,
all right. I'm going to get the hell off my soapbox.
All right. Everybody deserves a soapbox every once. That's why I don't get on mine. I just try to preach happy. I try to preach happy because there's too much negativity in the world already. We got enough stooges running around up there in Washington. We don't need any more. We need the rest of us to be the same ones to act crazy.
All right. Okay. You know what? Let me go with something light and let's do a little Monty Python here, and now for something completely different.
Oh, completely different.
last week we had talked about the Marine Corps birthday coming, that kind of stuff. It was a great fucking weekend. And remind me during the when we're giving our props to folks that I'll talk about the people that support veterans, that kind of stuff. I was at this course last week, and I had two very young Marines, active duty. And, of course, y'all keep in mind my age when I say very young. They're grown-ass men, and they volunteered to do what they're doing. They are magnificent creatures sitting there in America's all-volunteer force. And there we are 2 days before the birthday, and I turn them on to one of the great movie video clips that's Marine related. And they, of course, given their age, I'm going to say a failure of their parents, never seen the movie The Great Santini. So I turn them on to the cream of mushroom soup scene. And watching their faces as old boy went out there, played like he was three times drunker than he was, and got in front of that bandstand and emptied that can of cream of mushroom soup while making puking sounds, and they were rolling. They thought that was the best thing ever. Until those two Marines come running forward with their spoons, and he yelled, "Chow's on me, hogs," and they started eating that cream of mushroom soup. That one of the all-time great Marine-related film clips.
As a matter of fact, you mentioned that Rob is going to be 21 here on December 3rd. And
You know. Happy birthday, Rob.
Yeah, man, he's getting there. He's a good boy. But he's we were joking around, Kevin and myself, and we were talking about it. And I said, yeah, I can see me already pulling the great Santini where I walk in there carrying him going, we appreciate your efforts on the birthday celebration. But as you can see, my son is inebriated. I'm going to take him upstairs, put him in the ring. Except I won't be carrying him like Duvall was carrying his son. That boy of mine weighs too damn much.
Yeah, man. Well,
oh, my goodness.
You're, just for the record, the guy that played his son, correct me if I'm wrong, did he not play in one of the great comedies ever, Caddyshack?
Yes, sir, he did. Yes, he did.
Man, how do you ever top those two roles?
Oh, I know it. He also married Bonnie Raitt, whatever the hell her name is.
Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt.
Great slide guitarist, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Robert Duvall. How can you go wrong with anything Robert Duvall does?
Oh, man.
Despite all his stuff as a great Santini, his stuff in Godfather, all that stuff, man, my favorite role or line that he ever said is, that's pretty bold talk for a one-eyed fat man. Right? How great a line is that? And then John Wayne, top that line. Fill your hands, you sons of bitches.
Well, you know, we've carried on about it before that Apocalypse Now was probably one of the worst war movies ever put together. But the best part of it, hands down, was the Duvall part. Where he's out there and they're just mortaring the hell out of the beach, and he's out there talking about catching waves. You know, and they're playing the Flight of the Valkyrie when he's up there in the helicopters and everything.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah. As soon as Duvall's part was over in that movie, shut it off.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've got a line that tops them all. When someone pisses me off, I look at him and say, my attorney is bigger than your attorney. He's about 415 pounds right now. And nobody knows how to respond to that.
My attorney could beat up your attorney with one arm tied behind his back.
No, my attorney is bigger than your attorney. Right now he's at about 415 pounds. Now, what if I told you that's actually the truth?
I would say he ain't going to be around long.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He's the best.
First word for him is diet. Second word is exercise.
And the third word is damn.
It was like I had this old fraternity brother from Clemson, and he didn't invite most of us to his third wedding. Come to find out, he is tipping at about 380.
Yeah.
You told us about that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, man, come on, just lose weight. Don't die on us, you know? We don't want the next time that we're all together at your funeral. And then, of course, the next Clemson football game, we see a picture of Chad. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, he is like the Goodyear blimp. No, we love him. We just don't want him to die, you know? I mean, they laugh at me at weighing 205, but gee, you know, whatever. All right, so I tell you what, we got 10 minutes left in this priceless show. The last word goes to Kip Ramey, and then we do our plugs, and then we're, as Leonard Postosis would say, Percy, get me on out of here. So, Kip, what is the last word on this
pop culture? Before Kip does that, Kip. Man, thanks for being here, brother. You've been a blast.
Yeah, no joke.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun.
So what's the last word, though? Give us that piece of wisdom that we can take with us the rest of the week, the month, the year.
Oh, since we're quoting movie lines. Let's see. Since we're quoting movie lines, let's see. I'll move. Do a great one. And none of you will get it, I bet. What's that smell? Dookie. Hulk Hogan. And I'll give you that hint. But that's my last word. One of the great cinematic moments in history. You'll find out. You'll figure it out when you look it up. If you don't already know what it is. But
I like it.
I bet Rob telling me. We'll have to call Rob and find out.
You can look it up on the internet. Just look up Hulk Hogan and Dookie. Great.
Oh,
great.
Okay.
See, acting,
we'll do it.
The acting is just stellar. Academy Award winning. I don't know how he didn't win an Academy Award for that performance. But
I don't know how he didn't lose his contract. Kip, I didn't know how he didn't lose his contract. You know? Come on. But anyway.
I don't know.
All right. Everybody gets a plug. Everybody gets a plug to plug something important coming up. We're going to start with Dave Atwell, then we'll go to Todd, then we'll go to our guest, and then we'll go to me because I'm always last. All right, Dave Atwell, what do you got to plug tonight?
All right. My plug will be to my lovely and wonderful wife. Sunday, we will be celebrating 21 years of marriage and 24 years of togetherness. And they say love is bliss. It's got to be. But no, 24 years we've been together. We don't have anything special planned outside of maybe bearing down on a large steak somewhere and trying to keep it mild this year. But yeah, this is the time of year where I kind of stop, and despite anything that I might count as bad news in my life currently, I always remember that it could be much worse had I not tripped over her and had she not done the ultimate rolling of the dice and got with me. So, yeah. So, big anniversary. Shout out to my wonderful wife, Dale. And looking forward to another 24 more years, God willing. So, big thanks to her and a big bunch of love.
That's great,
awesome.
Dave. I got to tell you, it is. I got to tell you guys something horrible. We're Cody and I are doing caricatures this past weekend at Rockabilly in North Charleston. About 150,000 people there, and this boy comes up with this girl. She's a real pretty girl. He's probably not the prettiest boy. He's not. But anyway, so they're together, and he said, "Let's get a caricature." She said, "Yeah, I want one." She said, "Do you mean we're going to get it, you and me together?" He said, "Oh, well, I guess we better wait until we're dating." And he looked at her and he said, "Would you be my girlfriend?" And she looked back at him and said, "No."
Oh!
Bless
in front of everybody. So I made him sit down. We gave him a free caricature.
God, that's
yeah. She said, "Do I get one?" I said, "No, ma'am. Yours is double priced." And everybody howled. And I'm sorry, as Flip Wilson would say, the devil made me do it. But was I wrong? Don't answer that question. Dale will get mad if you answer it, Dave. Yuki will get mad if you answer it. Todd. Anyway,
all right,
Todd, what you
I
got?
You it's been the first time in about forever that I was able to take advantage of a Veterans Day outside of a military community. There's a ton of restaurants that do a ton of things every year. I hit the trifecta. I caught Denny's for breakfast. I got the Build Your Own Grand Slam. They only made me pay for my coffee, and of course, a less generous tip. And Denny's is going to top this list because on their regular, they do give a standard military discount. I want people to realize that they don't do this damn veterans thing once a year. They are there 24/7. Huge with them. I hit Dave's Famous Barbecue for lunch. Boy, got a smoked turkey, got some brisket, got their dirty rice. Dirty rice was an upcharge, big deal. Got the black cherry iced tea. That was spot on. Left a generous tip. That was good to go. Then I hit Golden Corral. And you know what? Dave will get this. After, you know, living in Jacksonville, I was able to go to a Golden Corral that did not have a line looping around the building twice.
Oh, wow.
With the three veterans meals. Went in there, got it, got to sit with some cool folks, that kind of thing. They do that. They advertise it. I don't know if they hold a regular military discount thing or anything like that. But it was really cool to participate in that. I want to give Denny's the big nod. And I'm going to give all those out there, past and present, that are service members. And I'd like to think that there are some that are out there for the future. So cheers.
Oh, great plug. Thank you very much. Kip Ramey, what's your plug? What you got to plug?
Oh, just be kind to each other.
Yes, sir.
Be respectful and shop local and respect artists, whether it be painters, Bigfoot hunters, cookers, or whatever your art is. It comes from your heart, it's art. So enjoy and take care of each other, and I hope to talk to you again sometime.
Absolutely.
And my wife.
Here.
I got to give a plug to my wife, too.
Oh, Coralie, she's awesome.
She's my better half.
Absolutely, she is. She's a lovely, lovely lady. I got to meet her at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. There's not a finer lady in all of Georgia, is there, Kip?
No. She puts up with me. What do you expect?
Well, maybe your mom, but I mean, you know how it is.
Well,
anyway.
No, I marry her, and I come marching down the aisle in the gorilla costume with a suit I painted on. She loves me, or she's crazy one.
Did you really?
You can look that up on YouTube too. It'll come up. It was going to be part of the document or the reality TV show. Look up Kip and Coralie's wedding. It'll pop up first thing. Look it up on Google, and you can watch the whole dadgum wedding. There's a magical unicorn up on stage. It was a masterpiece.
We'll do that. I'll put a link to it on the site. So look, thank you, Kip. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Todd. My plug is quick and short. December the 6th. The second International Krampus Festival at Ghost Monkey Brewery in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. And December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, is the second Somerville Comic-Con at the Coastal Center in Ladson, South Carolina on Miles Jamison Road. It's going to be absolutely awesome, and we'll have a live podcast of Murder 123. We're going to talk about the frightening Lavinia Fisher, one of the most awful serial killers in history. She and her husband killed 41 people. And this was in the 1700s. So we'll see you then. See you next week. Pop Culture Stars. Thank you, Kip. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Todd. Love you guys.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thanks. Good. Come on, Kip.